Call our attention tonight to Ephesians, the first chapter. A fourfold blessing in Christ is the title of our thoughts this evening. A fourfold blessing in Christ. We want to read together the first 13 verses of chapter 1. Now you will study the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and you'll find the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. Apollos has been there, and Apollos was very zealous for Christ and the cause of Christ, but he was limited in his knowledge, and Paul went in there and straightened some things up that had been going on. Apollos didn't know some things. He was earnest and zealous for the Lord, but there's some things that he lacked in knowledge. As I say, you study the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find Paul in Ephesus. Now, the key thought in this chapter is the wealth of blessings we have as Christians. The wealth of blessings that we have as Christians. We find the first six verses, you'll note blessings from the Father. He has chosen us in Christ by grace. He has adopted us in verse 5. He has accepted us in verse 6. Then you'll find verses 7 through 12, blessings from the Son. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He has revealed God's will to us, verses 8 through 10. In Christ, we are part of God's eternal purpose. Together, all things in Christ as we look at this. He also has made us an inheritance for Christ. Then in verses 13 and 14, you'll see blessings from the Holy Spirit. He has sealed us. He has given us an earnest. So, as we read these verses together, let's look, first of all, God is using the pen of the Apostle Paul in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So, he's an apostle, means one that's divinely sent on a commission. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we find God is utilizing his pen to write to save people, to believers in Christ, those who are in Christ by the new birth. Then he says, grace be to you. Grace be to you. That's the divine assistance for daily living. He's writing to save people. He says, grace be to you. That's divine assistance for daily living, and we all need that. And if you'll notice, grace comes before peace. Then he says, grace to you and peace. Where does it come from? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see the position, the believer's position in grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. You see that us there? Who is that us referring to? Paul, including himself, and he's writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, believers, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. Now, who is it us again? Right into God's people. He hath predestinated us, believers, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, fourfold blessing in Christ. There are innumerable blessings in Christ, but I want to note only four at this time. Time won't permit us to note more than these four. These four blessings should thrill our hearts beyond words. As God's children, these blessings that we have in Christ ought to thrill our hearts beyond words. So the first blessing is found in verses 4, 5, and 6. And let's read those again. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise, the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So the first blessing here, chosen in him. Chosen in him. The when of this choice, the Bible says, is before the foundation of the world, in verse 4. Chosen in him. That tells me that was God's plan to redeem fallen man even before he spoke the world into existence. His son stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that was God's eternal plan to redeem fallen man in and through his son Jesus Christ. He would send him through Virgin Mary into the world to live some 33 years and there pay the debt at Calvary. So we find the when of this choice before the foundation of the world. Jesus existed then. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. So, talking about Jesus, believers chosen in Jesus before the foundation of the world. So, the purpose of this choice, verse 4 tells us, that we should be holy. That was the purpose of that choice. That we should be holy. That others could see Christ is real in our lives by our daily walk. That we should be holy. Then the motive of this choice says the good pleasure of his will here in verse 5. Now, as I think of that, I think of the words of Jesus himself as recorded by John. In John 15 and 16, he's talking to his disciples. He said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." So he has chosen us for a purpose. And that purpose is to go and share the truth of the Word of God. Plant and water and pray, O Holy Spirit, open spiritual blinded eyes, open hard hearts, that they may see the truth of your Word and be birthed into God's family. So he's chosen us for a purpose. I look at Philippians 2:13, and it's in him. He gives the grace needed for daily walk. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're instruments that God hath chosen to work through. Are we yielded instruments to the Lord? Are we ambassadors for Christ that he can work through us to be his ambassador? To carry the word to others. So the first blessing was chosen in him and for a purpose. For a purpose. Now the second blessing is found in verses 7 through 10, and that is redeemed by him. So let's look at 7, 8, 9, and 10 again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, talking about Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So the second blessing here, redeemed by Christ. Redeemed by him. This redemption is by or through his blood, as we're told here in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Is there any wonder that Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Beloved, a fourfold blessing in Christ, this ought to make us as God's people rejoice in what we have in the Lord. That ought to stir our hearts and to make us to truly rejoice. This redemption includes the forgiveness of sin. Our sins are forgiven. He'll remember them against us no more. Isn't it wonderful what God has done for us sinners in Christ? And Christ's willingness to pay the price that we couldn't pay? And in Him we live and move and have our being. Do we have anything to shout about? I think so, beloved. We ought to rejoice in what we have in Christ. Redemption through His blood. Forgiveness of sin through His blood. This redemption makes us friends of God. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. So we find this redemption makes us friends of God. He makes known to us the mystery of His will, and this He does only to His friends. Look at John, the 15th chapter, and let me show you what I'm talking about. John chapter 15, and I believe it's verse 15, we find these words. John chapter 15, verse 15. We'll go back to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So isn't it wonderful? We are friends of God. He has made known the mystery of His will to us, His friends. He's given that in His Word. So it's wonderful. You know, He said, you're my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. What do we read in John 14 and 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. So, the second blessing, we're redeemed by Him. And then the third blessing is found in verses 11 and 12. Let's read those again. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Here He's writing and talking to those who are in Christ Jesus. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So the third blessing is heirs in Him. Really, the first part of verse 11, we were made an heritage. We were made an heritage. This is more than obtaining an inheritance of which we are sure. Of the inheritance that we have. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We read these words, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have a heritage. We are made a heritage more than obtaining an inheritance. Yes, we have an inheritance in the glory world. And we're going to obtain that, but we are a heritage for our Lord. For our Lord. I want you to note the progression of the truth in the context of this. God chose us in Christ as His own possession. Verse 4 tells us this. God chose us in Christ as His own possession. He redeems us with the blood of Christ. Verse 7. And then we become His inheritance. In verse 11. Or His heritage. Now, verses 13 and 14, we see the fourth blessing here in this chapter. In whom ye also trusted. Talking about Christ. See, the last word in verse 12 is Christ. In whom ye also trusted. Who is he writing to? The saints at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to God's people. In whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the fourth blessing is sealed in Christ. We are sealed in Christ. Now this sealing took place when we were saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Here again, God is utilizing the pen of the Apostle Paul to write this letter, epistle, to a New Testament church. Here in chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've already seen in verse 7 of Ephesians 1 what that price was. The precious blood of Christ. No higher price could be paid for anything than was paid for our redemption. Is there any wonder that Peter said, listen, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without spot, without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus stood as a lamb slain before he ever spoke the world into existence as God's eternal plan of redemption of fallen man. So we find in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, let's look at that. The latter part of that says, he that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. Let's just look at that. Romans 8 and 9 and come back to verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. Talking about the Holy Spirit. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and if you're saved, it does. He that raised up Christ from the dead by his Spirit, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This sealing is an earnest, our pledge of our inheritance. We're sealed until the day of redemption. This is a pledge of our inheritance. We're going to cash in on it. Now the redemption spoken of in verse 14 is redemption of our bodies at the resurrection or at the coming of our Lord for his own. How do I know that? Go back to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And let's begin reading, I believe, in verse 17. And read a few verses together. As Paul writes, he said, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And that's glorification. It's what we're waiting for. We've been justified. We are being sanctified. When the Lord comes to give us that new body, we will be glorified. And beloved, this is an assured transaction by the power of God, and it'll come about just as the Lord says that it will. Again, and I hope you memorize these scriptures, this is what we're looking for now. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's turn and read that again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is a reality, beloved, in our lives as God's children. Oh, what a blessing it is. What a joy it is to know that one day there will be a great reunion with our loved ones who have died in the Lord and with the Lord Himself, never to be separated again. What a glorious thought. What a wonderful truth that we have in the Word of the Lord. The fourth chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 13. Let's just read it together. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Don't be uninformed, beloved, concerning them which are asleep, concerning our loved ones who have died in Christ, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, I'm looking forward to the coming of our Lord, aren't you? And our loved ones that's going to be with Him. He's going to bring those souls and spirits with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. God cannot lie. That we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful assurance to God's people. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. As Paul said, and again I say, rejoice. Go into Philippians. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is what's going to happen when the Lord comes there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we're told about. He said, our conversations in heaven, that is our citizenship in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. And beloved, it's vile, isn't it? Who shall change our vile body, that he may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able. I like that. He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now, as we conclude, look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul, again, under inspiration of the Lord, writes, if you then be risen with Christ, or since you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Blessings that true believers have in Christ. Do we have anything to rejoice about? Listen. Oh, Satan's trying to keep things obstructed from us, what we have in the Lord, to keep our eyes off of spiritual things and on things of this world. Yes, it's dark in the world. Satan wants us to, our minds and thoughts and all to be things of the world rather than on what we have in Christ. It's wonderful, beloved, that we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Oh, the benefits that you and I as God's people have. Listen, this scripture comes to me, and let's just look at it as we close, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Oh, what a privilege this is for God's people. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, he's there at the right hand as our intercessor. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now look, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As the need arises, God's grace is always there. He never gives it in advance, just as the need arises. Beloved, His grace is sufficient for salvation. It's sufficient to keep us, to enable us, and to give us that which we need to walk daily in the light of the truth of the Word of God. How wonderful our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ is. What He has done, He is doing, and shall yet do for those that love Him. Do we have anything to rejoice in? Don't let the devil win the victory in your life by keeping you all upset over things that's insignificant and that's fading away. Even the diseases that takes our loved ones away, you know, that's just temporary. Look what we have in the Lord and the great reunion that we've got to look forward to, our loved ones that's gone home. But most of all, to see Jesus. Never seen those nail scars in His hands, but one day I will. Thomas got to see those. You know, he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. With all of my heart, one day I believe I'll see those nail scars in His hands. The victory has been won in Christ. May we stand. Eternal Almighty God, thank You for the blessings of the day. Thank You, O God, for the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, chosen in Him, saved by His precious blood, enabled by His grace to accomplish that which You please and purpose in our lives. Help us, Lord, to realize our dependence upon You, that we're just vessels that You have chosen to work through. And it is in You that we live and move and have our being. Without You, we're nothing and can do nothing. But we're so grateful that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Thank You for Your Word. And You teach us in Your Word that as Your children, we're clean through the Word which You have spoken unto us. You teach us in Your prayer in the 17th chapter of the book of John. It says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Help us, Lord, as we study Your word to rightly divide it, to always honor and exalt You for what You have done or doing and shall yet do for those that love You. Thank You for Your church, the congregation here at this place. Stir our hearts, O God, even during the week that we'll keep looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. You teach us in Your word, since we are risen with Christ, to seek those things which are above, to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That Christ, when He comes, we'll be with Him. We yearn and long for that time, but Father, until then, cause us to be that ambassador for You that You can smile upon. Speak through us Your eternal word to an eternity-bound people. So much sickness and heartache and sorrow, but Lord, You know all about it, and there's a purpose in it. Help us, Lord, to see the purpose in the circumstances and situations that we have in our lives. And may You receive honor and glory as You work out Your purpose in our lives. In Your name I pray. Amen and amen.